Pivoting from that, Desiree Heliger's Up Next talks with Cager Claybaugh, president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 4 across the river in Vancouver, Washington. They're going to be talking about the local and global stakes in the Vancouver Port Commissioner race, where the incumbent, Eric LeBrant, who has a record of opposing fossil fuel infrastructure in the port, is up against a challenger backed by fossil fuel interests named Greg Seifert. They're really putting into practice some of what just Bill and Max were talking about as far as coalition building and the breakdown of seeming political barriers between segments of the working class of the broader community. Desiree?
I'm speaking today with Cager Claybaugh about the race for Vancouver Port Commissioner, which has current Port Commissioner Eric LeBrant facing off against Greg Seifert. Cager Claybaugh is president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 4 in Vancouver, Washington. He served 8 non-consecutive years in the position. He's a third-generation union longshoreman at the Port of Vancouver in his 27th year in the union. He's a lifelong resident of Clark County. So this race doesn't seem to be getting a fraction of the attention it deserves, given that it has potentially global impact in a region that's been hammered over the past decade by fossil fuel companies bent on transforming the region into a toxic fossil fuel transport corridor. The West Coast ports we know are strategically important as exit points for oil and gas coming from the Bakken in North Dakota, coal from the Powder River Basin of Montana and Wyoming, and oil from the Alberta tar sands. So can you talk a little bit about why this election is so critical, what you think our listeners most need to know?
I've been going to Port Commission meetings since the late 90s. Back when I started going, there wasn't a whole lot of going on. They would talk about equipment to buy, you know, where they wanted to spend a little bit of money here and there to make the port a little bit better as far as infrastructure. And it just kind of went that way for a while. And then, you know, fossil fuel companies became interested in the port. And we saw what happened to Tesoro. The reason that Eric's race is so important is we had to do a lot of work to make sure that that oil terminal wasn't built that Tesoro was proposing. All of a sudden, we're in the crosshairs.
And we're talking about an oil terminal that would have been the largest oil terminal in North America.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, when they say 360,000 barrels a day is going to go through your port, what does that mean? I mean, I can't equate that. I don't know what that looks like until you start seeing what 360,000 barrels of oil looks like in a train. Right? We did everything we could to make sure that that oil terminal didn't happen. Obviously, one of the reasons was safety and the fact that the company coming in could care less if they got their trains from point A to point B safely. We're going to be working next to those railroad tracks. You know, we don't want to get killed, plain and simple. We don't want to see anything happen to our river. So we knew at that point that we had to take a stand. And part of that stand was making sure that we had representation on the Port Commission that would listen to us and listen to the community. So going back to my over 2 decades of going to Port Commission meetings, you know, back in the old days when you had Bob Mosier and Byron Hankey and Arch Miller, you know, on the commission, you know, those guys did a good job. It was actually a very rounded commission, I thought. And everybody got along. And, you know, Arch Miller's a diehard Republican, of course, and doesn't have a lot of good things to say about unions. Of course, I'm a diehard liberal, don't have a lot of good things to say about conservatives. But we're able to look at each other's points of view, right? Well, as the commission evolved, you know, you had Nancy Baker get elected, first woman commissioner at the Port of Vancouver. You had Brian Wolf get elected. And then because of them trying to pass the IDD levy, you had Arch Miller get defeated by Jerry Oliver. So at that point, I kind of feel like we had all right. I mean, some all right commissioners that would listen. But for whatever reason, when they started talking about the oil terminal, their ears were closed. They did not want to hear from anybody that opposed it. I mean, when I would go to these Port Commission meetings, they would last maybe 45 minutes, right? Once they had decided that they were going to try to put the nation's largest oil export terminal in, suddenly the comment period was 2 hours long, right? And why was that? We had to make a show that not only the labor in the port, the members of the community and as well as the environmental community, we had to show to them that we didn't want this, but that wasn't good enough. We had to do it every time they met, every single time they met. Why? Because when you stop showing up, then they think, oh, well, they must be all right with it. I mean, that's literally their thinking as far as I could see. So we worked hard and to make sure that we got people elected that were going to listen to us. Now, all three of those port commissioners that I last mentioned, which would be Baker, Oliver, and Wolf, they all didn't seek re-election, right? And the reason they didn't is because they were going to get defeated horribly. They would have been embarrassed. I think that as an incumbent, they would have lost worse than the people that were running against, you know, Eric LeBrant and Don Orange and Jack Berkman. I mean, it was really going to be a shellacking. That's why they didn't run. Truth was, they didn't listen to the community. They didn't listen to the people that got them elected in the first place, and they knew it was going to get taken out on them. So when you talk about what's the importance of this, we don't want to go through that again. If Eric were to lose, we might be all right for a couple of years. We'd have Don Orange on there. We'd have Jack Berkman on there. But then it'd be all hands on deck the next time these guys were up for election. So let's just, you know, keep up the momentum. Let's continue to remind people why we elected Eric LeBrant in the first place. And that is, he listens to us. I've had good relationships with the past pork commissioners, but, you know, Eric and Don Orange and even Jack Berkman, it's refreshing to have them on there because they call you and they ask how you're doing, ask if there's anything you need. You know, Nancy Baker used to do that some until we opposed the oil terminal, then those phone calls stopped. Those people were our friends in the past, and I don't want to forget that they did do some good at some point. But, you know, when you get blinded by dollar signs, that's when you got to be removed. And our longshore union's got a really good history of standing up and doing the right thing. And, you know, we were proud to stand with the community. We were more than happy. And actually, I was proud to stand with the environmental community. I think one of the things I'll remember from that race the most was the second we found out that Tesoro was planning on coming into the Port of Vancouver, our local took a vote to oppose the oil terminal, and it passed unanimously. Now, we would have benefited from that coming in the end. We would have got work there. We would have. But, you know, like I've said forever, the risk, you know, outweighs the reward by a lot. Anyway, we went to the Port Commission meeting, and I stood up and went on record as saying that. And I think one of the most memorable things for me was we were able to come out against the oil terminal before Riverkeepers did. You know, when we came out against the Riverkeepers, were actually in that meeting. Luckily, we got to speak first. You know, they about give themselves whiplash when they turned around to look at us when we said that we opposed the oil terminal. And that actually started what I think is a really good relationship with Riverkeepers and the environmental community. Try to make it sound like a, you know, such a horrible word, environmentalists. Oh, you horrible people, you know, chaining yourselves to trees. It's like, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's some people that do that. Hey, whatever. I'm fine with that too. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, hey, I want clean water to swim in. You know, I like to hunt. I know that animals aren't going to be around if they don't have some place where they can live and, you know, prosper. So everybody needs water. I think everybody needs woods. And all these, you know, say, oh, environmentalists are horrible. It's like, if you sat down and talked to them, you know, I think they'd understand that, yeah, they're probably environmentalists too.
If the port were to have this major, you know, fossil fuel infrastructure coming in, that would basically be not just competing with, but basically overriding a completely different view of, you know, what the Vancouver waterfront would end up looking like, the kinds of jobs that the Vancouver waterfront would be supporting. Is that pretty accurate? And I just want to note, too, that it looks like Seaford has about twice the funding that Eric LeBrant has, and, you know, raising questions about how much of that funding is coming from out of the region.
I mean, you look at every race that's been, you know, the last three races, you know, out of state, you know, fossil fuel money has been poured into these races, and they got their asses kicked. I mean, horribly, embarrassingly. They can throw all the money they want into it, but what we have is bodies that we get out on the street to remind people, hey, this is who we're voting for, and this is why. What we can do is to help is to, you know, do what we do, which is talk to our neighbors and remind them this is who we're voting for and why. Eric LeBrant, in my mind, it's a no-brainer. So you got that Greg
Seaford. Mm-hmm.
Seaford. Okay. And the reason I don't know who he is, he's never called me, right? I'm president of the Longshore Union in Vancouver. You know, you think that somebody running for Port Commission would want to reach out to the Longshore Union. He never did. You know, and we know why, because he knows he's not going to probably get supported from us. You know, that's one of the things, though, Jerry Oliver, I'm sure he knew. You know, he was very anti-labor, anti-union. He knew he wasn't going to get our endorsement, but he would sit down and talk to us and at least try. You know, he wouldn't lie. He'd answer the questions. You know, some of the things I'm hearing about Seaford, the way he answers questions, they ask him, are you in favor of the oil terminal? You know, he doesn't say that he is. He says stuff like, well, it was a missed opportunity. Well, there was no opportunity there as far as I'm concerned.
Raising the question of opportunity for what and how would that vision for the port have basically eliminated a whole range of other kinds of jobs, right?
Right. Right. And you know, I think one of the things he's running on is, you know, he's saying that he wants to do great things at the lake, But I don't see how somebody who wants to do great things at the lake would be in favor of putting the world's or the nation's largest oil export terminal right next to it. I think somebody said, I don't know if it was him or somebody else, you know, they wanted to widen the Flushing Channel to 1,000 feet and use the lake as some kind of marina or something like that. I don't know if anybody's been in Vancouver Lake, but parts I've been to are like a foot and a half deep. So I don't know what those plans are or where that even comes from. It's pretty telling when you see the people who are supporting him. You know, you had Chris Green sign on to him. I mean, that tells me all I need to know, right? The guy that got hundreds of thousands of dollars from Big Oil and Tesoro, right? And he got his ass kicked. Sounds like there's a woman by the name of Ann Donnelly, who's an oil and coal lobbyist, you know, signed on as supporting him. I mean, what more do you need to know? Just having those two people there tells me he's no environmentalist and more than likely not a fan of labor. He hasn't reached that out to us.
And, you know, longshoremen are the ones who are going to be moving all the freight, moving all the product, you know, risking your lives if things go up in flames, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you've been quite public about the safety issues involved in if there was an oil explosion. The problem of fighting an oil explosion is that it really can't be done. Is that right? I mean,
well, not that I've seen. I mean, it's always what? Stand back and try to contain it if you can. I mean, when the thing in Mosier happened, there was no offense there. It was all defense, you know, try to keep the flames and the fire from spreading to the trees, you know. And the problem we all really had with the oil terminal was, you know, one spill shuts down the whole river. And you can't stop the water from flowing downstream. And it gets in the, you know, I don't know if you've ever been out on the jetty. I have. I've fished from there. And I know that if oil got in the jetty, you'd never clean it up. You just never could. It would be that way forever. So, and that's really one of the best things about Eric is he understands that, you know, it's not just environmental, it's safety as well. It's the bigger picture when you're looking at the local economy, right? When the river shut down, there's no ships coming up. There's no ships going down. You know, people aren't working. One of the meetings that I have attended quite regularly, the Pacific Northwest Waterways Association, which is, you know, kind of a group of all the people that do business in the Pacific Northwest on the rivers and in the Sound. You know, they say that one in three jobs in Washington is connected to, you know, the import and export of goods, right? So if we can't get goods up and down the Columbia River, what do you think it's going to do to our economy here? We need to make sure that not only do we get Eric LeBrant reelected, but, you know, we need to start focusing on getting other people elected as well. They'll, you know, make the stand that needs to be taken. And that's really what I like about Eric LeBrant at the port is, you know, he asks good questions at the Port Commission meetings. He looks at it from labor standpoint. He looks at it from an economic standpoint. He looks at it, you know, from an environmental standpoint. They say that you can't balance the two, but you can't. You know, I'm perfectly fine with not having an oil terminal. Right now, what's keeping us afloat and keeping us busy at the Port of Vancouver and has for the last, you know, 2 years has been wind components, you know, windmill blades, windmill towers, generators, you name it. I mean, we've, you know, the whole river has had ships packed with wind energy, just laying at anchor, waiting for a berth so we can get in and unload this stuff. And, you know, people say there needs to be a balance between, you know, fossil fuel and wind energy, and that's not true. There does not need to be any balance. You know, wind energy, you know, when was the last time you heard about a wind spill, right? Never. They try to say, oh, well, you know, but the blades, they have to be replaced and they're fiberglass and they're horrible for the environment. You know, they get whatever happens to them, they get busted up or buried or whatever. Like, well, okay, I'll take that over an oil spill any day.
So my guest today has been Cager Claybaugh, president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union Local 4 in Vancouver, Washington. We've been talking about the race for the Vancouver Port Commissioner's position, and that election is, I think, on November 2nd. Cager, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been Desiree Helliger for the Old Mole Variety Hour.